Well, good evening, everybody. How are we doing? Well,
one of the things that we were going to do is we were going to sing Little Is Much when God is in it. But that song we just sang was phenomenal.
Good to hear that. Are you guys all familiar with that song? Little Is Much. I'm going to read some of the lyrics to you. If you want to turn in your songbook to page 397, I just want to read a couple of the verses, a couple of the words that are in there. It says, in the harvest field now ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the master's voice is calling to the harvest, calling you. The chorus goes on to say, little is much when we're in it, when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Guys, I want to talk tonight about little is much when God is in it. I don't know about you, but you know, over the course of the last couple years, I just celebrated my 2-year anniversary here at Fellowship Baptist Church on June 5th. And I will tell you, it has been quite the ride watching the number of people that have come in our doors and gotten saved and have joined us in this church. Folks that have come to different events. One of those, I'm going to ask someone to pray right now. I got a call from one of our young men that plays basketball with us on Tuesday nights. His name is Dwayne. His mother-in-law had a heart attack this week on Saturday. They had pronounced her dead, and she came back, and she's under a coma right now. But he called, going, I didn't know where else to turn. Pastor, can you pray for me? So I'm going to ask, Brother Brian, would you please pray for Dwayne? Her name is Lisa Parker. She is over at Wake Med, and they're going to be doing an MRI in a couple hours. So can you pray for her?
Dear Lord, thank you for being able to hear, preaching from your word, Lord. I pray for Dwayne, his mother, Lord, that this issue that's going on with her, and Lord, just you know exactly what the answer needs to be to this. Lord, I pray that you work in that situation. I pray that in some way that it seems like Pastor Eric has been a light to this group of people, Lord. I pray that that light would continue to shine through this family, and Lord, people would trust you as their Savior, and lives would be changed. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help them to be with that situation. Lord, keep your hand over that, your hand of protection and comfort. I pray this all in your precious name.
Amen. Amen. So please be praying for her. Name is Lisa Parker. But as I was saying, one of the things that's been wild to me is the number of people who've come in. You know, obviously on a Wednesday night, we're down a little bit from all the visitors that we would have on a Sunday. But it has been a blessing. I told Preacher the other day, one of the things I try to do every so often is go through my phone and connect with people whose numbers I have. There was a young man that visited us around Christmas time. His name is Isaac. So him and I were texting, you know, and he's like, oh, I need to get back out, and you know. But you guys realize this is the way church is supposed to be. Amen. We are supposed to be available and the doors open for people to come in. It blesses my heart to watch how many of you get up and greet people. It almost makes me uncomfortable if I was a visitor to watch how many people are in line for us to come and say hi to.
Amen.
You know, I've had a couple of people say, yeah, it was a little intense. You know, there was a line of people that wanted to shake my hand. But Lord willing, I don't know if you've heard some of the messages Preacher has been preaching about, hey, there's some things that are coming down the pipe that we want to be ready for. And what I want us to be ready for is for whatever God has for us in this church and in the ministries here. I think it's okay to say, but I don't know if you know, but we're doing a VBS coming up in a little less than 2 months. That's going to be one of those things that has the opportunity to really have an impact. We're coinciding our Family Fun Day on the same weekend. We're going to have, you know, as Preacher would say, full throttle that week. But I want to be ready for it. How about you guys?
Amen.
That song, when it talks about little as much, what it means to me, and if you didn't know, the song is about 100 years old. And what had happened, this young lady, Kitty, got stuck on a train up in Canada. She was at a meeting. And she looks out, and there's this farmer who's showing up with his horse and a little tiny sled. And he's taking people back and forth to his house to get them off the train because they're going to get cold. And all he kept saying is, it's the least I can do. It's something little. And she ended up that night writing Little as Much when God is in it. You know, the man had been at the meeting. She goes on to marry him. So I don't know if he had arranged it all, but it worked out really well. But that song tells me that when we take something that, in our opinion or the world's opinion, doesn't have a lot of value, it doesn't have a lot of significance, and we put it in God's hands, or we allow God's, you know, ownership of it, God can do great things.
Amen.
Have you guys ever heard the song? I think it's called the Hands of the Master. It's a story about an old violin. You know, and the violin was old and dirty and out of tune, and they were trying to sell it. And the song goes on: "Anybody give me $1, $2, you know, $2, whatever it is." And a man comes up and he takes the violin, he cleans it up, he tunes it up, and he plays he plays a melody that was unbelievable, and the whole crowd took notice. So all of a sudden, this thing that everybody thought was just kind of an afterthought and junk was reality when the master, when the owner of it came through. Then the value went, who will give me 1,000? Who will give me 2? When God uses the littlest things that you and I have to offer, and he gets the glory, everybody that gets to witness that is blessed. It doesn't matter the size. It doesn't matter what it is you're offering. If you're doing it for God's glory, we all win.
Amen.
The reality is this. A lot of us have sat back in our seats in Christianity today, and they think, I have nothing left to offer. I'm too old. I'm too young. I've made too many mistakes. I've had too many failures. I'm telling you now, that is Satan saying, whispering in your ear and saying, you're not enough. To start, I want to look at a couple of things where God took something that in reality, it was not much. We know the story of David. Can you imagine being David and watching him go and he picks up some stones? Then they find out that he's going to go fight Goliath.
Hey. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate
it. They've offered him the Saul's, armor. They've offered him his swords and all these different things of war. But David knows that his strength comes from the Lord, and he picks up some stones. The insignificance of a stone. Anybody ever, am I the only one that does this? You walk down a road and you find a stone, and you kick the stone the whole way down the road just because it's something to do, right? Anybody? No, okay. So I remember the first time after I heard the story of David and Goliath, and that he took out the giant with a stone, it had a whole different meaning. Something as simple as a rock. You know, half the time we get stuck in our shoes and we just throw them away. God used it for his glory.
Amen.
Many of you know the story of Gideon's army. He's getting ready to fight the Midianites' army of 135,000 men. And he has 32,000. I don't know about you. I think I'm a tough guy, but if I have to fight 4 guys, I'm already scared. But they're outnumbered 4-1. And in God's wisdom, he says, you know what? You got too many. He took 32,000. He took it down to 10,000. Can you imagine being the 10,000? Wait a minute. We just sent away 22,000 men. Now we have to fight them? And then it comes down again. Hey, there's still too many. Send them down to the water and see how they drink. When all said and done, there's 300 men. Somebody much smarter than me could probably figure out the ratio of men. That's a lot to a little. But he did it so God would get the glory. He took a small army of men. He dwindled them down. I'm guessing if I'm the 22,000 or the 9,700 that walked away the second time, they're probably thinking in their head, these men are dead. They've taken away whatever strength we had. But God got the glory.
Amen.
One of the stories I love to tell about my time in New York reminds me of the widow's mite in Luke 21. Jesus is talking. He talks about how the men gave out of their wealth, out of their abundance. And she gave out of her poverty. And she puts in 2 mites into the offering. I'll never forget one time we had taken up an offering. And what we did at our church is we had a box that was attached to the back. And they would put their money and their offering in there. And remember, at the end of the day, we're counting it. And there was 2 cents in there. I have no idea who put those 2 cents in. But it brought me to tears because I thought, you know what? Somebody thought enough of 2 cents that they'd put it in the offering.
Amen.
Another example of that was I had a young man that would come to our church and visit. Very big hunter. So he grabbed 4 shotgun shells and he gave one to each of his buddies. He's like, take all the money you can and shove it in that shotgun shell. And he gives me a bag. He goes, hey, I want you to have some shells. He goes, do not throw them out before you look at them. And I'm looking in there. I'm thinking, oh, that's great. I got, you know, a couple bucks. And I pull it out, and it's 50s and 20s. I was thinking, how did God know that I needed that? And this man shows up. This is the same man that once brought a big beer stein full of change. He goes, don't mind the can. And he gave us, you know, the benefits of that. Next one that I thought about is, and this one's an obvious one, is the story of the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
Amen.
This young man is walking. He's probably just, you know, going home to give it to his family. And the situation comes up that they need it. I wonder if one of the disciples had seen the boy and said, hey, can we use that? Or if he just came and said, hey, this is what I got. What happens next is unbelievable. Not only does it, you know, I tell the story when I was telling youth, and I always say, I wonder when they first started ripping bread off, was it little chunks at a time? Here, we got to use it sparingly. It's got to go to everybody. And then after a while, were they just ripping chunks off and going, this is awesome. Splitting the bread in half and tossing it. But in the end, what happens? They have 12 baskets of remnant left.
Yes, sir.
Right. And that boy's probably going, what just happened? I was going to grab a little container of the mustard seeds, because a lot of times I don't think you realize how small a mustard seed is. Christ says this in Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Anybody else want that kind of faith?
Hey, sir. Amen.
I really think God wants us to have that faith, because there's things coming that we got to get ready for. The last example of something small that God used was in 2 Kings 4, when the widow cries out to Elisha and saying, listen, my husband's debtor is coming to take my kids because I have no way to pay them. And he asks her, what do you have in your house? And she basically says, I got a little bit of oil. And he says, listen, go and get as many vessels as you can, not just a few, as many as you can, and fill them all up. Her sons go out, they get all the vessels. Her pot still has oil in it. And she says, go get more vessels. And I'm like, Mom, we've gotten them all. And all of a sudden she realized what had happened. So guys, I want you to think of all those stories we just talked about real briefly. God used something that on its own, if it sat here, would be an everyday thing. A stone, a loaf of bread, a fish. And God did something miraculous in each thing. Think of the people that were involved that got to witness that. That little boy, his life changed forever. He had an interaction with Jesus that you don't come back from.
Amen.
Think about the disciples. Their faith grew exponentially. What about those 300 men that went to battle? I wonder if they realized that the angels were there protecting them. Their lives were never the same.
Yeah.
They went back to those 31,700 men and said, you are not going to believe what God did.
Hey.
He did it on purpose so that that's exactly what would happen. Every time God shows himself faithful in the little things, you and I are the beneficiaries of it. You and I get to see stuff that took place. One of the stories that I tell all the time, and I don't even know if you knew this, but at one point, before I took on the pastorate at our church, my family and I were missionaries to go to churches to tell them how to have public school ministries. And one of the first churches we got a chance to go to was down in Lakeland, Florida. So we were at a church on Sunday night. We were going to travel down. And my wife and I, we kind of looked at our finances and said, okay, we have literally just enough to get us there. We felt God leading us, so we said, you know what? Let's go. This pastor was from the same town that I was living in, next to, in Salamanca, New York, which is about that big. And he says to me, "You're from Salamanca?" I said, "All right, Lord, you've opened the door." We're driving down. We're literally eating granola bars. Now, if you can imagine young, 10-year-old boys going, "I'm hungry. This car smells funny." That was my boys at that time. They're like, "Are we there yet?" So my response was always, "We're just looking for a parking spot." We pull into the church, and the gas light comes on. Tina and I are kind of like, we're in tears. We're going, "Man, is God good?" And our kids are going, "Are you kidding me? There's no way." Something as little as that, God got the glory for. Yep. And I could tell you, we still talk about some of those things.
Amen.
Watching the way that God did the littlest, used the littlest things in our lives for His glory. But tonight, what I want to think about is this. When I say this, I'm telling you, I'm looking at myself going, I want a little more. I want a little more, but I want God to be in it. And when I think about it, the first area of my life that I want a little more is my personal walk with Jesus Christ. Guys, everything that we're going to do in this church, everything you're going to do in your lives, is going to rise and fall on the effort and the investment you put in your faith.
Amen.
Guys, you guys know all the Christian answers. We had a young man at our church. Every single question we asked, he'd go, "Jesus?" Yes, that is the answer. But when you're asking like, "Hey, what did Moses do?" The answer is not Jesus. But I'm preaching to the choir. You guys are here on a Wednesday night. You know the things that we need to do in our faith. First and foremost, we need to be in the Word of God. I looked up statistics, and you can always find statistics for everything, but it was kind of staggering to look at some of the statistics. They said of church-attending Christians, on average, about 15% read their Bibles daily. 35% do it weekly, 30% once a month, 20% rarely or never. Now, guys, like I said, as I'm walking up here, I'm going, a lot of this stuff is, I'm preaching to literally the choir of the people that are here on a Wednesday night. But imagine if you got a little more Bible.
Amen.
I think of, a couple of people told me, well, I get a text sent to me every day, and I'm like, that's great. But is that all?
Good.
Guys, our biblical knowledge, why we believe what we believe, or how should we believe. I have a young man that I was telling my wife that I had in ministry in the early or late 90s, and he'll call and text me. So this week, he's going, how do I know for sure that I'm going to heaven? And I said, do you have a Bible? He's like, no. I said, Andy, when was the last time you picked up your Bible? The last millennium? That's a big start. But the reality is, we are good at reading the headlines, right? We're good at knowing some of the stories. We're good at knowing the topics that are on the table. But the more we get in this book, we're going to build the foundation.
Amen.
We need to be in it. Preacher and Johnny and these guys, they've done a great job. They've given us a roadmap to get through the Bible in a year. Believe it or not, I've talked to people, especially at basketball. They're like, well, I want to read through the Bible, so, from the beginning to the end. And I said, you understand it's not like one continuous story. They're like, what do you mean? I said, it's not chronological. There's different parts. And he's like, what? And you wonder why we have a society that doesn't understand right from wrong. They don't understand morals, and they don't understand these things because they don't have those foundations. It is exciting to me when a young Christian gets excited about things. Brother Brian has told the story at our staff time today about our visitor, Miss Frances. She got a chance a couple weeks ago with Brother Brian and Miss Betty to go in and buy a Bible. She was so excited about this Bible. She's showing it to me at the lunch. She's telling us how she's calling her sister every day and they're reading the Bible together.
Amen.
Do you and I have that same kind of desire just to have a little more Bible in our lives?
Amen.
Like I said, this is not news to you. How about prayer? Where is your prayer life? When was the last time that you chose to be on your knees by yourself and call out to God? This week has been so encouraging to me because of my wife. A couple times during the week, she's called or texted me, said, "Hey, I am praying for you. I'm praying for this specifically. You know what? I'm going to do this, and I want to pray that God can use you in a mighty way." You want to talk about lighting a fire under me? Let alone coming in here on a Saturday morning, a Saturday night, or a Sunday morning. How's your prayer life? The Word of God is what God is using to speak to us. Prayer is our opportunity to come back to Him. He knows our hearts. But there's something, because guess what? I'm guessing everybody in this room has felt the conflict when you're trying to pray. Believe it or not, I am a guy, and my attention span is about that big. That if I'm not paying attention, I'm either falling asleep or off on a tangent talking about something else. There's a reason for that, guys. Satan doesn't want us to have communion and conversation with our Father. We need to have a prayer life. A lot of this we're gonna get to is the idea of journaling. When I think of my prayer time and my time in the Word, by far the richest times is when I was writing down the things that I was doing, the people that I was praying for, the situations. Why? Because then if a couple days goes by and haven't read my Bible, I can go back and say, "Lord, okay, I'm sorry, 3 days it's been since I got into your Word." Yeah. Or I can go back and say, "Hey, there was a really good verse that I read. What was that?" We also need a little more fellowship in our walk. What do I mean by fellowship? Opportunities to be with brothers and sisters in Christ, like-minded folks. The world wants to chew us up and spit us out. We're talking in our staff time about the chaos in some of the cities like Los Angeles right now. There's a friend of preacher is there, and he's in the middle of it, and he's going, "This is the Bible coming out alive, going, wrong will be right, right will be wrong." Mm-hmm. Yeah. You and I need to have the fellowship that we can be encouraged. We had some folks stop by our house this week, and it just left a smile on my face to have godly friends that come to be an encouragement. There's something special about it. Amen. There's something rich and deep that pushes us on to other things. Some of the seasons in my life that have been the hardest is when I don't have fellowship. I don't have the connection with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And part of that is sometimes we need to say some hard things, right? Oh, wait, we don't want to step on toes. No, folks, I'm giving you permission in my life that if you see an attitude, an action, or something that doesn't glorify and honor God, because you're my brother or sister in Christ, you have the right to come and say, "Hey, brother, believe it or not, I'm going to do the same," because we need that. We need that kind of depth. Mm-hmm. So we need to be in God's Word. We need prayer. We need fellowship. We need to be faithful. I don't know about you. My human emotions get excited on Sunday morning when the place is packed out. If I could be honest and transparent, Sunday night it's like, "Oh man, people, what are you doing? Why aren't you in church? I wanted to have fellowship with you again.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to worship the Savior."
Amen.
But we look out and we're like, "Oh, so-and-so didn't make it. Oh man, they didn't come back." Are you being faithful to the house of God? Are you being faithful to God? Guys, when I say that, I mean like, why are we not here every chance we get? I don't know about you. I've tried to be a morning service Sunday Christian. By about Sunday at 2:00, it's already done. I need it all the time. There was a time in my faith where I would go, "Oh man, I'm tired. I don't feel good. I'm gonna stay home tonight." And I look back and I'm going, "Man, that contributed to some garbage that happened in our lives, because I chose not to be faithful." One of the struggles I had as a pastor is, you know, the families that would come in, oh, we can't come to church today because we got a birthday party later on. I love sports. I love all the things. But when we allow anything else to take precedence over being in the house of God, you're putting a dent in your testimony. You're putting a dent in the opportunities.
Yes, sir.
We had a young man at our church, 20-some years old, grew up with my kids. His mom decided not to make church a priority. Every opportunity, she would miss. Guess who else started missing? Guess who else kind of got lost in the world and died at a car accident because he was doing 70 miles an hour, 3 o'clock in the morning? There are consequences. I pray that you as a family and you as a person, we don't have to deal with those. But if we're not going to be faithful, know the consequences will come. Yeah. And if the reality is, you know, just like with our sin, if the consequences were immediate, it would change things. But you're not going to see the consequences of not being in church until it's almost too late, when your marriage is struggling, mm-hmm. where your kids don't want to be in the house of God. Another part of our Christian faith is giving. This statistic kind of blew my mind. Statistics tell us that of church attending church Christians, 25% of those that attend don't give at all. 75% of the 75, only 25% give regularly. They surmise that if the professing Christian in the United States gave just at the 10%, the number of things that the church could help wipe out, things like homelessness and hunger. On average, the average Christian gives 2.5% of their income. Now, both with our Bible reading, both with our giving and our prayer, you can imagine how it goes in life. When you're young, those numbers are a lot lower. The statistics tell us that as they get to 50, in 60 and 70, they're in the Word more. They're praying more. They're giving more. Why is that? We're starting to see the realities of life. I look in the mirror and I realize, praise God, I have not only 6 kids, but I have 4 grandkids and hopefully many more that are going to watch who we're going to become.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm telling you that I need a little bit more of all these things. I'm telling you that I want a little bit more of all those things. The other part of the little as much when God is in it is the stuff that comes out of your faith growing. And that becomes your service and your ministry to God and to others. I don't know about you. Have you ever done an event or tried to talk to somebody when your spirit's not right? The words don't come out. You've had these conversations 100 times, but you don't know what to say. You feel like you can't connect. Like I said in the beginning, everything to do with our walk with God is going to trickle down. Folks, if you're of that percentage that isn't in your Bible but once a month, you're not going to have a lot to offer. You might know all the stories. You might know all the lingo and the conversations. But there's a verse that says, be sure your sin will find you out.
Right.
Folks, people can tell when it's just us.
Mm-hmm.
We've been a part of conversations, even in the last few months. We went on vacation, we had to talk to somebody. And for whatever reason, this big Italian, I'm talking jacked up Italian guy, he's cursing. I'm like, hey, time out. Let's not do that. And he's like, oh, all right. Our meeting was supposed to be about 10 minutes. It lasted an hour because my wife and I got to talk to this young man about the gospel. No holds barred. We were sharing verses and texting them, and it's been awesome.
Amen.
But I guarantee, if I'm not in the Word of God, if I'm not praying, those things don't happen. Guys, I want us to be prepared to be able to serve what's coming our way in this church. I want us to be able to minister. There are going to be opportunities upon opportunities that we are going to have because of all of you and because of the way that our church is going and growing. We're getting more and more people on our campus, more and more opportunities to work with the community. Brother Brian is going to be taking over the first priority leadership at Clayton Middle School. The Chamber of Commerce would like us to have some adults that'd be willing to go into the public school and mentor kids. We need to be ready for that. If you're in ministry, if you're one of the leaders, the same old might not cut it. We might need to step our games up a little bit. We need a little bit more, but we need God to be in it.
Amen.
The one fun thing about looking at the clock and knowing that the time is winding down is you don't have to hear the whole thing. But there's a couple of verses I want to share. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him."
Yes.
Guys, if we keep adding a little bit more every week, every day, a little bit more, that's going to show Christ and show our own selves that we are diligently seeking him. Guys, like I said, this message is for me, but I hope God does something for you in it too. Another real quick verse. 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord."
Amen.
Before I close, I wanted to say one thing. I heard a preacher this week, and it has stuck in my head. He said, the problem with Christianity and churches in the 21st century is we have become too passive and too busy to do the things of God for the church. Guys, I'm not saying putting on services or any of those things, but we hear those statistics all the time that 20% of the people do 80% of the work and 20% of the people give 80% of the giving. Imagine what would happen on this campus if every single person, from the oldest to the youngest, the newest member to the one who's been here the longest, we take one little piece and we add it to our faith. We grow just a little bit in some areas. Our desire to serve is going to change. Our ability to be a testimony to other people is going to change. Guys, I didn't say anything that you didn't know already tonight, did I? Now you have to decide, are you going to choose to have a little bit more? And God's going to be in it. I want to close with the part of the song that we did not get to. It says this in the last stanza. "When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if you've been faithful, welcome home, my child, well done." I don't know about you, there's a young man back from my church. He always talked about it. All he wants to hear is, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Amen.
He finally retired at 80-some years old. Today is his last day. He's super excited. And I think of that verse, but right before when it says, "if you've been faithful." Guys, we as a pastoral staff, we don't know the ins and outs of your faith. We know that we pray for you. We desire for you to have the faith that we've been talking about. It would give us nothing more pleasurable than to be able to help you and come alongside you to encourage you. If there's things that we can be doing, if there's things that we can help you to get prepared for what God has for us, little is much when God is in it. And I like that part where it says, "the harvest field now ripened, there is a work." Folks, there are a lot of people here in this town that don't have churches. There's a lot of people here that they go to church just because. Listening to them come to this church and hear and see the responses they get because of what you've done, the attitude that you've had, the leadership of our pastor, the fellowship that we've been a part of. God is going to do something great. We need to make the steps, even if it's little, to get there. Amen?